Hey everybody, welcome to episode 3 of Homers at the Bat. This is Jeff. I'm here with Joe. It is November the 21st, 2014. It's the Friday before Thanksgiving. Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm getting my stomach ready for Thanksgiving by not eating breakfast or lunch today.
You know what's funny was in after we were roommates in college, my next roommates, they studied how competitive eaters stretch their stomach because they would go to this all-you-could-eat sushi downtown. And what you want to do is, like, you want to drink a lot of water and eat a lot of heads of lettuce. So if you want to stretch out your stomach for
Oh,
Thanksgiving, there's your tip, okay?
all right, yeah, I'll
That's how
keep
you do it without getting fat.
you cut out there.
All right. Oh, I said we should get down to business. This one needs to be a little bit shorter this week. So we're going to take a look at all the divisions. We're going to start today with the NL Central, and we're going to talk about whether each team was a successful or a failure. And that sort of varies from team to team, whether they were successful in what they wanted to do or they failed. Obviously a team that had 65 wins last year wasn't thinking that they were going to win the World Series this year. So like I said, we'll start with the NL Central, and the winners of the NL Central last year were the St. Louis Cardinals. They had a record of 90 wins and 72 losses,
Yep.
and they lost out to the world champion San Francisco Giants in the NLCS 4 games to 1. Joe, were the Cardinals successes or failures?
I'm going to say that they were probably successes because they managed to bring up some of their top prospects. They ended up, I'm blanking. Oscar Tavares, who passed away recently, which
Yeah,
is
that was a crazy, ridiculous thing.
right. And they brought up, I think it was Colton Wong's second year, right?
Yeah, they brought up Colton Wong last year towards the end, and he actually qualified for a lot of Rookie of the Year stuff this year. So he must not have been up as long as I thought he was last year. But
Or he just didn't play as many games. Because I know this is the first year they really committed to him over their other second baseman, right?
yeah, they moved Carpenter to third, I remember, this year, and so that really helped Colton Wong's value. So you said that they were successful?
I'm going to say they were successful because they managed to win their division, obviously, and bring up their prospects and help them. So there's really no lack of success there.
That's true. What do you think of the fact that some of their starters that were supposed to do pretty well for them ended up struggling? I know Wainwright missed some time, and just a lot of their starters didn't play up to snuff last year. What do you think about that?
Well, I think some of that was to be expected. Wainwright's getting older. Holiday's getting older. Holiday's really been on like a 4-year steady decline for the last 4 years. So that's not much of a surprise. John Jay's just kind of a guy they put in center field. So I don't think they expected much from him.
He's just a guy.
Right, but I think the guy you're probably referring to most is Matt Carpenter, who had a really down year this year.
Yeah, Matt Carpenter did struggle a bit. He turned it on in the postseason. He like made up for all of his struggles in the regular season by kicking on the afterburners in the
Right.
postseason. I remember against the Giants, I was sitting there thinking, like, where was this all year, Matt Carpenter? Like, you were terrible all year, and now you're gonna kill my team, but in the end didn't kill the Giants, so that worked out well.
Yeah, I don't think they're too worried about Matt Carpenter. He's still pretty young.
Yeah, he'll do fine, and I think he plays better as a third baseman than a second baseman because putting Colton Wong in there, their lineup's a lot better with him at third.
Right, and Colton Wong looks like a whiz at second. He looks like a natural
Yeah.
second baseman.
So,
Same thing goes for Aaron Adams. He struggled. I know a little bit of time. I want to say he only hit like 12 home runs. So that was a bit of a disappointment. I know they expected a lot more from him. He hit 15 home runs.
15, yeah.
And it looks like he played a majority of the season. He had 527 bats, so.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at their lineup right now, and this pretty much tells you all you need to know about their offensive struggles. Johnny Peralta led the team in home runs with 21.
Oh, wow. Which,
yeah, I mean, Peralta's not a slouch, but he's not the guy. Yeah, he's not the guy that leads your team in home runs. And I'm going to say that I have to agree with you. It's hard to get to the NLCS and call your team or your season a failure.
Right.
And completely underscoring that is they are expected wins. They're Pythagorean wins, which is calculated based off of runs scored and runs allowed. They were only supposed to win 83 games last year based off their run differential. So, yeah, that's a completely successful season. Now, another question for you. They saw it as a successful season because they traded Shelby Miller and some parts this week for Jason Hayward.
Well, I tend to think that that's more of a panic move. They had expected Oscar Tavares to take over right field for them for the next 10, 15 years probably. And once they lost him, they recognized they had an abundance of pitching. Right, Lynn, Lackey, Garcia, and some other guys in the minors. They knew that they could probably develop a pitcher. But they have Darian Hill in right field. I mean, if they don't make that move, they're starting Rob Gerchuk. His name?
Yeah, he needs some defensive miscues.
So they don't want to roll with him. I guess they could have put Jay in right field and used Borges in center, but then they're really expecting Wong and Adams to develop and Carpenter to bounce back to have a solid middle of the order. And I think they need some insurance in Hayward, and they got it.
Yeah, I mean I thought that was a big pickup for them to sort of reset for the tragic loss of Oscar Tavares. You hit the nail. That's exactly what I was thinking. You hit the nail on the head that he was in their long-term plans, and they had to find another guy like that. Some speed, some pop, some good defense. Sort of plug in there because the loss of Tavares could have set them back quite a bit because they were. Really counting on him coming up in the next few years, like you said, the next decade or so.
Yeah, and like I said before, I think they have so much more faith in developing pitchers. They have such a track record with that they were fine dealing a guy like Miller, of Miller's caliber.
Yeah, we talked about that in one of the last two episodes where, you know, a pitcher coming up out of the Cardinals, you trust they're going to be good. So I think they know that they can develop a more pitchers, even if they're not A-plus quality, they can make, you know, Bs into A-minuses, which is all they need to do.
Right. So and like Buster Posey, they have one of the better catchers in all of baseball, in Yadier Molina, as far as not just offense, but also calling a game.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that huge when they struggled when Yadi was hurt. Sort of, I think it was like late July, early August, they went on a real schneid. And then when Yadi came back, all their pitching sort of came back with them. So it's one of the great, interesting things that you can't really quantify is how a catcher calls a game and how it really affects the pitchers and that chemistry.
Right.
So, all right. So we both think that the NL Central winning St. Louis Cardinals had a successful season, and that's not really hard to say.
No.
So next up is the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates ended the season 88-74. They, too, lost to the Giants in the playoffs in the NL wildcard game when Madison Bumgarner absolutely destroyed them. And then proceeded to chug a lot of beer. So Joe, Pittsburgh Pirates, successful season or unsuccessful season?
That's a little more difficult to say. I would be I would say that they had an unsuccessful season because while they made it to the playoffs, I think their expectations building on the last 2 years were so much higher than that, than just coming in and playing one game and getting knocked out. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, oh, another reason is they lost their closer, Jason Greeley.
Uh-huh.
And he was supposed to be a guy for them. So they don't really have a solid back end of the rotation right now, or back into the bullpen. I don't know. This team looks so sketchy going into next year compared to other teams in the division to me.
Oh, wow. I actually disagree. I think that they actually had a successful season. Yeah, it was, if you look at what they started with last year, you know who their first baseman was to start the year last year, right?
Mike Davis.
No. It was Mr. Travis Ishikawa was their starting first baseman.
Oh, right.
I think they had a successful season, not by win-loss record, but for a lot, like what you said with the Cardinals, where they were able to set themselves up for next year. They trade for Ike Davis. They jettisoned Pedro
Alvarez. Designated for assignment.
Yeah, they jettisoned Pedro Alvarez to the bench, pull up Josh Harrison, who was in contention for a batting title. And I actually think that I'm a big fan of Mark Melancon. I think that he does provide a good end of the bullpen rotation, or end of the bullpen solidity, some stability in the back. And then also, I don't know if there's a better young outfield out there than Starling Marte, Andrew McCutchen, and Gregory Blanco. Or Polanco. Gregory Blanco, no. Not Gregor Blanco. but Gregory Polanco. I think that they had a successful season because they set themselves up for the future, even though they sort of didn't do much last year.
I would say... I agree that they have a strong, young outfield, both defensively and offensively, speed and power and just great defense. But their rotation, in my opinion, I mean, when you're marching Jeff Locke out there as your third best guy and a semi-workout that they just signed, that to me is not the basis for a strong rotation. Garrett Cole is great. Morley is questionable. Locke and Burnett are almost not starters.
Yeah, Burnett, I mean, it's no question this is going to be probably his last contract. He signed with them. But there's the Ray Searidge magic. I mean, he turned Edison Volquez into a halfway decent pitcher for most of the year. And I don't know. I'm starting to believe in the Ray Searidge magic, their pitching coach, but you're right. The rotation is sort of like put together with like paper clips and bubble gum. It doesn't instill a lot of confidence.
Yeah. And, you know, we probably shouldn't criticize it too much considering the Giants just won a World Series with a patchwork rotation. But when I look at a team's probability of success in the next season, I always look at the starting rotation first.
They
have all the shiny toys they want in the outfield or the corner, infield, and if they don't have the rotation to back it up, I tend to think that it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, and you also look at it, Volquez is 30, Liriano's 30, Charlie Morton's 30.
Right.
Burnett, who they just signed, is what, like 68, I think? don't quote me on that, but he's getting up there. So it's sort of like the Giants, where the age is iffy because they can start to fall apart at any moment.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know, and this might sound totally ridiculous, but Andrew McCutchen is just starting to feel like one of those superstars that will never have team success. Are you like kind of getting that feeling? Like he's one of those guys that's kind of just trapped on a team that's not really making it to the next level.
To sort of like the Mitch Richmond in the 90s Kings, where it's like he's gonna play there, and they're never gonna get anywhere.
Right. At least the Pirates are making the playoffs. I was more thinking, like, who's a good example? Oh. Well, I mean, Barry.
I know what you mean. Like, they're perennially, like, on the verge, but they're never going to make it.
Right.
Sort of, the Bengals of the last few years in the NFL. Like, they've been up there, they've been contenders, but they've gotten bounced in the first round every year.
Right, A.J. Green is a great, like, he's like the A.J. Green of baseball. Yeah.
That's a perfect example. I think so. I see, yeah, a lot of similarities where you can't deny that the team has some talent and they're not, like, a dreg, but you don't see them going very far every year. Like, if the Bengals make the playoffs this year, I don't see them getting past most of the other teams in the AFC, and same with the Pirates.
Yeah.
They're...
Yeah, and some of that is a byproduct of being a small market team, one of the bottom five payroll teams, and having to invest so much money in an Andrew McCutchen and not being able to spread the wealth elsewhere. Because when Starling Marte and Gregory Polanco and Gerrit Cole reach their primes or their next level contract, I don't have a whole lot of faith that the Pirates are going to keep all four of those guys.
Yeah, I don't think they can. It's they maybe they get savvy with it and go the Billy Beane method, where as guys come up for their big contract, they trade them off for other parts.
Right.
I mean, that Beane's been doing that for a decade now. He just keeps works back for top flight players who turn out to be great in their own mind, in their own right. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And plus, when you're marching Jordy Mercer out there as your shortstop, I just...
Hey, don't besmirch Jordy. All right, so you think that they were unsuccessful, and I think they're successful. That's interesting. So, anything else on the Pirates?
No, I think we didn't cover their giant acquisition of Francisco Cervelli.
Oh, boy. Francisco Cervelli. Forget everything we said. We have to throw all that out because, you know, they're perennial World Series contenders now.
Championship.
Yeah. You know what, though? They did lose Russell Martin.
We glossed over that. That's a big
one. Yeah, we glossed over that. That's a huge loss. So what do you think about that? Did the Jays overpay? Really overpay or vastly overpay for Russell Martin?
I'm going to say somewhere between really and vastly. It's definitely not slightly.
Yeah. He's going to make $20 million in like 3 years. They're going to give a 34, 35-year-old catcher who wasn't that good to begin with $20 million a year. That's insane. Yeah.
It's not like they need the offense, and it's not he's not renowned as the great game caller or like defense. I mean, he's semi good defensively, but not a terrific battery option. I don't know. I don't get it.
I wonder if the Jays looked at the pitching. Edison Volquez came there and was good, and attribute a lot of that to Russell Martin, maybe.
Right.
They're hoping he can develop like Stroman and their other young pitchers, but
probably.
I think that's going to end in heartbreak for the Blue Jays.
Agreed. Yeah. They're trying to make a move in a weak division. I mean,
yeah.
They're rumored to go after Sandoval in the free agency. So I'm thinking they're making a push to be the top team in the AL East next year.
Yeah. I mean, it's up for grabs for the non-Yankees and Red Sox for the first time in a while. The Orioles took it last year, or at least made the playoffs. So, alrighty. So that sort of puts the Pirates to rest. So third place in the NL Central were the Milwaukee Brewers. They finished the season 82-80. They missed the playoffs. They're 8 games back of the Cardinals. Did the Brewers have a successful or unsuccessful season?
Can you read off their, I'm having trouble pulling up the standings. Oh, they were 82-80. So they were above 500.
Uh-huh.
Can you go first?
I think that the Brewers had a completely unsuccessful season. And here is why. Uh-huh. They finished 82-80, but they won probably up until June 28th, or about halfway through the season, they had only lost less than, I would say, it looks like 25 games here. I'm looking at their up and down tracker on Baseball Reference. And then they went into an absolute tailspin. They were the toast of the NL for a very long time. Now, the Giants were for a little bit, and the Brewers were right there on their tails, and the Giants went into a little bit of a scuffle for a while there, but right. The Brewers kept winning, and then they just could not win a single game in the second half of the season. They just completely fell apart. So I'm going to say because of that, and because they did sort of fail to develop their young talent, Chris Davis struggled, Jhin Segura struggled,
right.
Scooter Gennett was Scooter Gennett. I don't think they had a wildly successful season. I think it was pretty unsuccessful. And then you have a rotation of Willy Peralta, Kyle Loesch, Yovani Gallardo, Matt Garza, and Jimmy Nelson. That's like the definition of just complete league average rotation all around.
I would be nodding my head in agreement right now if you had not neglected to mention Mike Fiers.
Michael Fiers. I forgot about Mike Fiers. He only played a few games, right? I'm looking at this. He started 10 games. He did just sort of light the world on fire, I'm remembering, in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
He started a lot of Mike Fiers, pun intended.
Awful puns, yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of terrible puns. But if they punch him into the rotation, kick out Jimmy Nelson, he's a great. He'll be a good, probably second starter. I would say he should be, but he'll be there.
Yeah.
He'll be their ace. And another person we forgot was Marco Estrada.
Oh yeah. That guy who was on everyone's fantasy team this year.
Yeah, he just could, the dude, he just could not stop giving up home runs. Like, it was ridiculous. Him and K-Rod were both giving up almost 2 home runs per 9 innings pitched for the Brewers. Like, it was insane what happened there.
Right. So I'm somewhere in between thinking they had a disaster year for the reasons you mentioned. Chris Davis didn't develop. Jhin Segura didn't develop. They've got somewhat of a hole at second base. They've got a very old Aramis Ramirez at third base, who they've retained. But then I look at guys like Carlos Gomez and Jonathan Lucroy, and I think, you know, they've got and you know, the young guy Mike Fiers, and I think, you know, maybe they've got something working up the middle in those key, you know, center field, catcher, pitching, shortstop, second base. I mean, I know Jhin Segura had a bad year, but he's still pretty young. And it just looks like they've got 3 of those 4 positions covered.
Yeah. I can agree with Jonathan Lucroy. He was sort of the big breakout catcher last year. He sort of finally put it all together. But here's something that if you're a Brewers fan, I would definitely worry about. So how many Brewers do you think we've talked about right now? 12, 13? So about half of the 25-man roster?
We've neglected a big one, but yeah.
We haven't even mentioned Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
has a big contract. I mean, when the new TV deal kicks in, it won't be as big, but he's supposed to be their big man on campus, and he has just not performed in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and some of that's due to injury, lingering injuries. And some of that's just due to, I honestly think this biogenesis thing just got in his head.
I think it got in his head, and if he peed hot, he was on performance enhancing. I know there was, he got off on a technicality, but if he was on performance enhancers, I mean, coming off of those, that there's a tendency for injury. So I'm right. wondering if those are tied together, and if he's just gonna be injured out of the league.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. He's 31 years old.
Yeah, he's 31.
Super old. I mean, that's still in the prime for a slugger and a guy who plays a protected defensive position like right field. And he goes from 41 home runs in 2012 and let me see if I can find this. 41 home runs and a 987 OPS.
Uh-huh.
To 2013, he only goes 61 games, 225 ABs, 9 home runs. His OPS drops about 120 points to 869. And then this year he comes in, hits 19 home runs and 530 ABs with a 777 OPS. That's a decline. That is officially a decline in my book. And I would be shocked to see him come back next year, play a full season, and hit anything more than 25 home runs with a 270-ish batting average and, you know, a steadily declining OPS.
Yeah. So let's go back in time. It's the winter between 2011-2012 season.
Uh-huh.
I ask you, Joe, is Ryan Braun a top 5 outfielder in baseball?
Oh, he's number one.
He's number one.
We're
number
two to Andrew McCutchen. He's damn close.
Okay. So now it's the winter between 2014 and 2015. Is he a top 50? He's top 50. Is he a top 30 outfielder in baseball anymore?
Probably not.
I am inclined to agree with you. His numbers are going down across the board. You highlighted OPS, but I'm looking at this. There's not a single component of his batting that has not gone down every single year.
Since
2011, it's gone down every single component. Batting average, OBP, slugging, and then obviously OPS, since that's batting average, or OBP and slugging.
Right. He did have an increase in home runs.
Yeah. Well, so
it's kind of hard to call 2012 a decline year when he knocked in 8 more home runs.
That's, yeah. I mean, his OPS went down, but it looks like he may have sacrificed average for
power.
Cracking dingers, yeah.
Which is smart in this day and age and what you end up getting paid for.
Yeah, and given that batting average is down across the league, so don't try to be, you know, a contact hitter. Just try to mash it out of the park. Because nobody will notice your 250 hitting or batting average anymore.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because I ended up having Braun on my fantasy team this year. A lot of people don't realize, looking at his numbers, that they're a lot worse than they even appear, which is hard to believe because he didn't have a very successful season. But he had, I want to say, 3 or 4 multi-home run games where he hit 2 or more home runs.
I remember that. I remember that it was – I know he had at least 1 3 home run game because it was, is this the end of Ryan Braun's struggles? That
right.
was what everybody was talking about.
That
and
was
then,
the narrative. And they came early in the season. I mean, pre-All-Star break. And
yeah.
Ever since then, he was just not existent.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just not very good in the second half of the season.
So I'm somewhere in between. I mean, to go back to our original point, that Ryan Braun thing is very troublesome. There are some elements that are troublesome, but then you look at a guy like Carlos Gomez, and he had a borderline MVP year. So it's kind of hard to say that they're not looking good for the future.
Yeah. What do you think about Chris Davis? Does he put it together next year, or is he still just below?
You know, I kind of like what he did last year. He showed a little bit of power. I think he came on late. I'd like to pull that up and actually see.
He came on sort of middle late of the season because that's sorry, folks, more fantasy talk. That's when I traded him to Mike for Doug Pfister. That was sort of around when he came on and I was able to sell high on him. So he was good for part of it, but
yeah, I'm not seeing something significant. I'm seeing, you know, 5 home runs in June, 3 home runs in July, 3 in August, and 4 in September. And I thought that's when he was really killing it, and apparently not.
Yeah. So. All right, well, we got to move on to the Reds. But before I do that, Joe, just want to make sure nothing else you want to talk about the Brewers?
No, I'm pretty much done with them.
You want to make a call, successful or unsuccessful?
I would say, oh, man. I'll go unsuccessful. I think you convinced me.
Unsuccessful. All right. So that moves us on to the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds finished 4th in the division after making they were one of the best teams in baseball over the last couple of years, but they ended up 76-86. Like I said, 4th place. They were a full 14 games out of first, so they weren't even close to catching the Brewers. They were closer to the Cubs than the Brewers. Joe, did the Reds have a successful season?
You really can't say that they did when you hear that record and how many games behind they were. But then I look at their team, and God, I'd be shocked to not see them competing with the Cardinals next year. Yeah, I mean, they've got Billy Hamilton in center, who didn't have an atrocious year, I don't think. Did he?
Actually, last year. That's some praise right there. He didn't have an atrocious year.
Okay, so I'm looking at it. 250 average. Okay, yeah, 250 average, 56 steals. What else were you really going to expect from a guy who you weren't sure was going to hit?
Yeah, and you look at his I forget what I was listening to. I was listening to somebody talk about Billy Hamilton. A lot of his caught stealings, too, were him just getting picked off on the base paths for him not knowing major league pitchers, because he just basically got railroaded up to the majors because they're like, this guy's going to steal a quadrillion bases for us. So
right.
I think that bodes well, because before the season, I stayed as far away from Billy Hamilton as I could, because the guy was either going to hit his way out of the majors in 2 weeks, or he was going to steal 50-something bases, and I didn't want to take that risk.
Yeah, he was going to be Ricky Henderson, or he was going to be Emilio Bonifacio.
Hey, Emilio Bonifacio plays in the majors. He just plays everywhere.
Right. Yeah, I don't know who's a fair comp. Who would be that guy? D. Gordon?
Pedro Feliz?
No, but a guy who's like speedy. Who didn't stick?
Oh, speedy but didn't stick. God, I don't know, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So you think they're pretty good set up for the future? My question to that is what's going to happen with Brandon Phillips? What's going to happen with Joey Votto? They're both over 30 now. Votto cratered last year. Brandon Phillips has been on a steady decline. Do you think that they're a little bit? They're waiting for their cycles to end before they can really contend, or do you think you think they can contend with the Cardinals next year?
I really do. I know they have Phillips and Votto next year. I was actually going to just look up their contracts, but it took them a long time to commit to Devin Mesoraco full time, and he had a monster year for just on a per at bat basis.
Oh yeah, he was great. He had like a suspension, and then he kept getting hurt, but yeah, he was incredible when he was actually playing.
Right. Todd Frazier had a solid year. Negron, the guy that is kind of their super utility, Joaquin Arias type, Christopher Negron, he played very, very well wherever he played and whenever he played.
Uh-huh.
So he could potentially take over for Phillips if Phillips falls off. If Bogart continues to hit under 200, he could play for him. They still have Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce did not have a bad year. He's still young. I just look at the team and I look at the rotation. I mean, God, you know, Cueto, Latos, Bailey, Simone, who had a great season last year, And Mike Leake, who's a solid fifth starter, I just think that they're going to compete going into next season. I really do.
You think so?
Yeah, and Chapman's still a great closer.
Chapman's good. He was a little bit shaky when he came back from getting his face exploded, but he ended up being pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's still great.
Yeah. So my question for you about the 2015 Cincinnati Reds, what role does Tony Cingrani play, if any?
Good question. I think they'll... Yeah, they seem to be really hesitant about moving him to the bullpen. So at first I was going to say maybe they'll start him off there. But, you know, it's always possible that they move Mike Leake to the bullpen, although he's been a solid starter. I know I'm not really settling on something. I do know that the Reds, I had a note here, actually, about the Reds. They're rumored to open, they're shopping Jay Bruce. I don't know if you'd heard about that.
Oh, no, I hadn't. That's, yeah, do you know what they're looking for?
I have no idea, but we'll get to that later. I do know that they're also rumored to be shopping an ace, or not an ace, a starter, and everyone who's not named Homer Bailey is available. So Cueto, Leake, Leto, Simone, all of those guys are on the table.
Oh, wow. The classic Joburg fantasy trade. Everybody but X is available.
But my best player, yeah. but yeah, it's that would seem to indicate that maybe they're thinking of moving him into the rotation.
It's possible. I mean, I could see them giving it another shot because after this year, I think something's got to be different. Something's got to change.
Right.
And I think we need to monitor in spring training if Cingrani gets more pitches. The problem was is Cingrani was just fastball, 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 and then a changeup. And he was just blowing balls past people. But he needs to get some other pitches if he's going to be a starter, I think. He started to get Hunter Strickland syndrome. But yeah. his had more movement, but you knew it was just going to be a fastball.
Yeah, and you know, there's a long track record of those guys that commit to being power pitchers, not really developing into solid starters. Like they can make it as if you're going up and you're throwing 100 mile per hour fastballs every, you know, 2-3 pitches, two or three pitches, and then every two or three pitches you're throwing a different pitch. You're not likely to develop into anything more than a closer, a guy that faces maybe two or three guys.
Yeah, that sounds like, yeah, closer, seventh, eighth inning guys, the sort of back end of the rotation guys, which Cingrani's fastball is just too good for that, I think. He's got too much potential if he ever gets another pitch. So I think if they put him in a role like that, like the J.J. Hoover eighth inning role, it'd really be doing him a detriment for that. Personally, I think they keep him in the minors for the first half of the season, get him to develop maybe a good curveball or a sinker or something, just another pitch that he can switch it up. So, and then he'll come. I think he'll make the rotation the second half of the year.
I mean, that would be a big boost to them. But you know, like I said, I don't even really think they need him. If they manage to, I know they're talking about trading one of these guys, but if they hold on to that core of four or five guys, they're going to be right behind the Cardinals, if not better than the Cardinals. All depending on how Mesoraco develops, whether Votto or Phillips have a bounce back, how Billy Hamilton develops. I just see good things for them.
Okay. I just see them giving Homer Bailey another half season before they maybe pull the plug on him and switch Cingrani into the rotation. Maybe do the Tim Lincecum, we're just going to quietly put you into the bullpen, and you're just going to live out your days there for the rest of the year.
Wait, did Homer Bailey have a bad season?
He was super inconsistent. I pulled my statistics over to the Cubs getting ready to transition, but let me go back to the Reds really quick. He was up and down and up and down. He ended the season... Oh, I don't think his batting statistics will help us very much. He ended the season with a 3.7 ERA, but he was giving up like a homer per nine. It was just his strikeouts were
okay. Strikeouts and walk. It does not look that good.
Yeah, he was not Homer Bailey that you'd expect to be, and it was sort of just shaky command, sort of what you saw with Lidscombe before he cratered. So I'm just worried about Homer Bailey next season for the Reds.
Do you think that it could be, you know, like an arm problem, or do you think it's a mental thing? I mean, what do you think is contributing to it?
Well, I know I read an article on FanGraphs about how one of the things that lead to arm injuries, like players start to lose velocity and control in the couple games before arm injuries, and we're talking catastrophic ones like rotator cuff tears, or they need Tommy John because they tear that in their arm. They lose speed and control, and Bailey lost both of those. I think they dodged a bullet by not having him get injured next or last season, but it doesn't look good for him staying healthy all next year.
Yeah, and that's really a shame because he never really reached the potential that was put out there for him. But I'm looking at his stats. It never looked like he got under a 3 ERA.
But, no. And that was sort of what was expected of him, like a 3-2. You know, he'll start off the season hot. You know, he'll be one of those guys that starts the season with like a 2.5 ERA and ends up around like 3-2.
Right.
But he just that just never materialized.
Yeah, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, so...
Oh, he had a decent August. Wow, he had a really decent August.
Yeah.
A .64. Actually, he had a solid end of the year. July, he pitched 4 games, 27 innings, 17 strikeouts, to 9 walks, which isn't that great. So some of that might have been luck. But then in August, 2 games with a .64, 14 innings, and 13 strikeouts to 4 walks. So
he
won a little bit toward the end.
Hey, he did bounce back. Okay, I sort of stopped paying attention to Homer Bailey. I did not realize that. So
yeah, and you brought up Lincecum as a comp. Lincecum is he 28 or is he 30?
Lincecum's 30 now, I think.
He's 30 now. Okay, so
he is, because I remember going, Tim Lincecum is 30 years old.
Jeez, that's frightening.
Yeah.
And we almost are too.
Yes.
But Homer Bailey is 28, I believe, next year?
Yes, or this that year. Sounds right.
He turned 28 this year.
He's 28, we'll say.
He's 28, so not totally over the hill. I'm not willing to give up on Homer Bailey, I guess is what I'm saying, to the extent that you are.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, cut the guy, his career's over, you know, just get rid of him. I'm saying he's...
Underperformed.
Underperforming, yeah.
So. I would agree.
All right. Okay, we got to move on to the Cubbies.
Yes.
The Chicago Cubs. Oh, Joe. excited about the Cubs. The Chicago Cubs ended the season 73-89, and they were last. They were 17 games behind first. Joe, without looking at the standings, did they have more or less wins or fewer wins than the Chicago White Sox?
Oh, no. I'm assuming you're throwing a trick question at me, so I'm going to say more.
Trick question. They both were 73-89.
Oh, gotcha. That's impressive. I mean, the White Sox had high aspiration. The Cubs were a rebuilding squad, so that's...
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump in, and I'm going to say, before you even ask it, successful season.
Joe, did they have a successful season?
Successful season, Jeff.
All right. So, yeah, they were junk. They were not a good team, but guess what? I agree.
Yes.
I think the Chicago Cubs, given what they had to work with, given that For some reason, our whipping boy, Emilio Bonifacio, played a big role in the beginning of their season. I think they have set themselves up very well for the future. Joe, I know you're the big prospect guy between the two of us. You love the prospects, so tell me all about the Cubs' future.
Oh, boy. Well, a lot of the future is today, Jeff.
The future is now.
The future is now. They have guys, a ton of second base shortstop prospects. So they've got Javier Baez. They've got Arizmendi Alcantara. They have Addison Russell, who they recently traded last season, a couple starters for. Uh-huh. They have more middle, and they still have Starlin Castro, who's not over the hill old.
Joe, he's 4 years younger than us.
Is he 4 years? Is he 24?
Yes.
Holy cow, it feels like he's been in the league forever.
I know it does, but when you said that, I looked at the roster, I was like, he's only 24 years old.
Good God, yeah. I mean, they have more middle infield prospects slash young big league players than they can even play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, I think a trade's coming. And the question is, what do they trade for at this point?
Yeah, I think that there's a pretty good answer, and that is starting pitching after they traded Jason Hamill and Jeff Samardzija last year.
Right. Maybe even a little third base if they don't believe in Mike Olt. Left field seems like a hole for them.
Yeah, I feel like, Mike Olt is, because he was sort of the boom or bust. He either struck out or hit a dinger. Oh, dear Lord. He had 100 strikeouts and 258 plate appearances.
Oh, good God. Wow.
Jesus.
I always wonder why Texas gave up on him so quickly, but the more I watch him, the more I think he's not going to make it.
Yeah, he flails. He's a... You know, three true outcomes. He doesn't know about the third one yet, which is walks. He's like, you can either strike out or hit a home run.
Right. Got to stay in the league.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think, they need to figure out third base. I'm guessing they're going to transition one of these middle infield guys over to third base.
Baez? Is that what you're thinking?
Maybe Baez, just because he's still clean. He's still raw. I think Starlin Castro has been in the league long enough. He'd get up in arms about being moved out of shortstop.
And also Baez seems to be the hitter that they're most concerned with protecting, because he seems to have the brightest future from a power standpoint.
Yeah, they're treating him with kid gloves. They called him up and sort of dropped him in, and he struggled, but. I think that was good for his development to get that out of the way. You also missed one of their prospects. He wasn't an infielder. Jorge Soler. So, I mean, I've been saying it. I think I don't know if I said it to you, but I think we're looking at our 2017 pennant winners in the Chicago Cubs.
2017. Well, I had told you, it was two podcasts ago. I either said that they're going to win... Not the NL pennant. So you're saying the NL pennant?
Yeah, they're gonna win. They're gonna go to the World Series in 2017.
I think they're a strong playoff dark horse today. Like if the season started today.
Oh wow, playoff dark horse. Wow. How are they gonna do that in a division with the Cardinals and with the resurgent Reds? I think they have to wait for the Reds cycle to sort of close. I only think. You know, Votto, Phillips are going to be effective for another couple of years, and then that's when the rise of the Cubs. I think they're going to shock everybody this year, though. I think they're going to be huge. But I mean, so 2017, that's three seasons from now. Anthony Rizzo will be 27, prime of his career. Starlin Castro will be 27. Arizmendi Alcantara will be 25. Junior Lake will be 27. Holt will be 28. Baez will be 24. Wow. They'll have all these players... up and they'll have the seasoning on them, and Soler will be 25.
Wow.
I think that's why I think, you know, you have all those players either entering their prime or will be in the middle of their prime. So that's right. Why I'm saying You know, they could challenge, but I don't think 2017 is that big of a limb to say they're going to win the pennant.
So we had talked about Javi Baez at third.
Yeah.
There's a guy coming up probably at the beginning of next year who might be the next Mike Stanton.
I'm sorry, Giancarlo Stanton?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That guy who got paid way too much money.
Yeah. I told Kate, I was like, Kate, if we ever have a son, he is going to learn how to mash dingers because we will be set for life if he learns how to mash dingers.
Spend the money before it comes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good plan.
So who is this gentleman?
His name would be Chris Bryant, Jeff.
Oh, Chris Bryant. I forgot about Mr. Bryant, yeah. Tell me about Chris Bryant, Joe.
I will tell you everything about Chris Bryant once it pops up on my computer. he has been mashing since he got into the league. So last season, he didn't even play the full year. He hit in 248 at-bats, the guy in the Southern League. Okay, so he split time between AA and AAA. The okay. Southern League is AA, PCL is AAA, just for reference for you guys.
Yeah.
248 at-bats in the Southern League, 22 home runs, 458 OBP, 355 average, 77 Ks to 43 walks. Pretty solid strikeout-to-walk. I mean, that's damn nice. Then jumped to the PCL, had 244 ABs there, 21 home runs, 295 average, 418 OBP.
Wow.
And OPS over 1,000 in both levels. I mean, just crushed it last year.
Yeah, and even if you count for, you know, that PCL is a hitter's league, those are still impressive numbers.
They're mind-bogglingly good numbers. I mean, just as a total, 492 at-bats, 43 home runs. He's 20 years old.
Yeah, and so you'll figure he'll be up probably late. I figure he'll be, if he doesn't make the squad out of spring training, he'll probably be a September call-up next year. See what they have in him, at least. Get him some pinch hits, some starts here and there. But, yeah, so he'll be getting up there. He'll be entering his prime, too. This squad is so set up. They cleaned house, and they are so set up for the future. It's scary.
I mean, how good is Theo Epstein?
But the guy's a genius. I mean, it's incredible how quickly he's turned them around and has turned them into contenders. Will turn them into contenders.
So
in a few years, yeah.
Can we look at some of the moves they made in the rotation? I mean, we're going gaga over their offensive players, and granted, that's where the talent lies. But let's look at some of the, you know, unheralded moves of the rotation. Jake Arrieta had a borderline. I mean, if he'd pitched enough innings, a borderline top three Cy Young contender year.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. He only managed, it looks like, just under 157 innings. But, yeah, his numbers are great. He's like the anti-Marco Estrada. He gave up one home run per nine, or one-third of a home run per nine innings.
Wow.
So every three complete games that he'd pitch, he would give up one home run.
Yeah, he killed it. They used Tsuyoshi Wada, who posted a 325, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, a 325 ERA. So not bad, 69 innings pitched, 57 strikeouts. Not a whole lot to base something off of, but he looks like a solid starter. Uh-huh. They brought up Kyle Hendricks. He did well. He had a 2.46 ERA, 80 innings pitched, 47 strikeouts to 15 walks. They managed to pull Justin Turner, or Jake Turner from the Marlins, high upside arm, a few years separated from making it into the league. They still have, they pulled off Felix DuBrant from Boston, a high upside arm, hasn't been in the league that long to completely underimpress. They pulled Dan Straley from the A's, high upside arm, high strikeout guy. I mean, I'm looking, even if they don't go out and make a move and just two of these guys turn out right, I'm looking at a solid rotation as early as next season.
Wow. I'm going to let the Giants know that you have a new favorite team, and it's the Chicago Cubs. You are gaga over the Chicago Cubs.
I am salivating over this team. Every time I look at them, it makes me wish that I'm not quitting fantasy baseball next year, because I think there's a lot of high upside picks for anyone who plays fantasy. Go in targeting Cubs, and you can't go wrong.
All right. There you go. All right. So to round it up, Joe and I both think that the Cardinals had a successful season. I think that the Pirates had an unsuccessful season. And Joe, you agree, or you said successful, right?
No, I agreed. I was in the middle, but you swayed me.
Okay. And then the Brewers unsuccessful.
Well, what did I say? Oh, no, Brewers, I said.
You said successful, and then you.
Oh, that's the one I swayed on because of Ryan Braun. That's right.
Yeah. And then Reds unsuccessful. Their arrow's trending down.
I said successful. That's where we split.
Yeah. Your next dynasty, the Chicago Cubs.
Yes.
They will win the World Series from 2015 till 2025. Is that a safe bet, Joe?
I think that's a safe bet. I think it's going to be the Cubs and the Twins, only because I'm such a high prospect guy. Can you tell?
Yeah, you love prospects. You're like, I know almost nothing about prospects. I know here and there, and you're just like the prospect guy, Mr. Prospect. So, all right. So that's the NL Central. Next week, do you want to do the NL? Do you want to do the AL Central, or do you want to do the NL East?
Ooh. Well, I'm almost tempted to jump on the NL East because I thought going into today that we picked a pretty boring, outside of course, division to start this whole thing off with, and all the action has seemingly been in the NL East. But I almost want to wait until a potential Justin Upton trade goes through to even touch them. So maybe I would say depending on – well, actually, we have to tell them right now, huh?
Let's say AL Central and play it safe.
Let's go with that, because then I get to talk about the Cubs, or the Twins, the Cubs of the AL.
Cubs of the AL. All right. All right, AL Central. So the next time is the Tigers, which I have a lot of stuff to say about the Tigers. Royals, Indians, White Sox, and the Twins.
Beautiful.
So we are coming up on an hour here, I told you before the podcast, I have a quick game for you to play. But before that, I have breaking news, Joe. Do we have breaking news sound? Breaking news coming across my TV screen. 49ers first round pick, AJ Jenkins, traded to the Chiefs, out for the season. Oh, no. What a huge blow for the Chiefs. Joe, do you listen to the Around the NFL podcast? What's an NFL.com podcast?
I have, but I would not say that I listened to it maybe in the last year or so.
Okay. Did you listen to them play a little game called What's More Likely?
No, I haven't.
So it's very simple. I give you two statements, and you tell me which is more likely. So I have five statements here.
Okay.
I want you to tell me which is more likely. And it crosses baseball, basketball, and football. So what's more likely, Joe? DeMarcus Cousins wins the MVP or Chris Borland wins Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Ooh. Oh, man. You know how much I like the Kings, and they tend to pick MVPs in the NBA based off of record.
Yeah.
But I also think that Chris Paul will be there. I don't think there's enough of a chance that the Kings get higher than the Pelicans, so I think that Davis would probably be a lock for that.
Okay. So you're saying more likely Chris Borland wins Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Even though I don't think it's super likely. I mean, the tempting argument there would be that he's just racked up an insane amount of tackles and that he could, you know, easily surpass the other defensive rookies. You got Clowney, who's out. He was out after the first game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been in and out. I think he played last weekend, but he was hurt for a long time.
Yeah, he's not going to win it. I don't even know really who else is competing for that.
Oh wow, a little guy by the name of Aaron Lynch is also in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I read an article about how Chris Borland's one of his biggest competitor is Aaron Lynch.
Well, then I'm going to say Chris Borland.
All right.
Lynch is.
All right. You don't know who Aaron Lynch is?
I don't. I know. I've been struggling. You know, I teach Sunday school, so I haven't been able to watch football.
Oh, Joe, he is on a little team called the San Francisco 49ers. He
looks- oh, no.
He looks exactly like Alden Smith. Like he's super lanky like Alden Smith. He's super fast like Alden Smith, and he actually wears long white sleeves like Alden Smith.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so they're like the white.
He's a defensive end.
Yeah, he's like that. He was a defensive end in college, but he's too small to play that, so he's an outside linebacker now.
Well, now that you tell me that, I am 100% going with Chris Borland because I think Aaron Lynch is going to lose time when Alden Smith comes back.
Oh, wow. I disagree. Ahmad Brooks is out. He's out, Joe.
Oh, no. We love Ahmad.
The future is Aaron Brooks. Or Aaron Lynch. It's happening. Not Aaron Brooks. It's happening, Joe.
Just accept it.
So, all right. So, more likely. These are supposed to be like quick hitters.
Okay.
What's more likely, Joe? DeMarcus Cousins hits his goal of fewer than 5 technical fouls for the season. He has 2. Or Brandon Belt hits over 30 home runs.
Oh, no. Yikes. I'm going to, as crazy as it sounds, I'm going to go with DeMarcus getting less than 5 technical fouls because Belt, how many Giants power hitters have hit 30 home runs in the last 10 years outside of Barry?
Nobody.
Nobody, exactly. So that's a high number. If you were going to say 25, I would be inclined to go with Belt, or even 27, but man, 30's too high. I'm going to go with DeMarcus. And by the way, for the record, I think DeMarcus will have over 5 technicals this year.
Okay. Okay, so here's another one. Vernon Davis ends the season with 6 touchdowns or more. He has 2. Or Navarro Bowman actually sees the field in 2014.
I think Navarro Bowman's out, so I'm going Vernon Davis. Cause...
Yeah, I don't think we're seeing Bowman this year either. It's not looking good for that.
It's just too risky, yeah.
Yeah, all right, next one. Antoine Bethea is a first team all pro safety, or Rudy Gay is an NBA all star.
Ooh, that one's easy.
Easy?
Maybe it's not easy. who is blocking Gay? I'm tempted to say that Gay's gonna get the all star nod. That's such a stacked position.
Yeah, that's why it's a tough question, Joe. I thought of these my whole drive home from Belmont today.
Oh no, you picked a good one. Gay gets a lot of shots. He scores a lot of points. Cousins ends up sitting on the bench at some point toward the end, and everything becomes about Rudy Gay. But I like Gordon Hayward, and I guess technically he's a small forward.
Yep, that's what makes it so hard.
Oh, God.
Time's up, Joe. What's more likely?
Bethea. Okay, Bethea.
Antoine Bethea, All-Pro. Yeah, that's what I thought it through, too, just because of Gordon Hayward will block him. And,
I mean, you just always have...
Kawhi Leonard.
Of course.
An all-star. So I think Rudy Gay will be very good, but he'll get blocked. All right, last one, Joe. And this is one that is very near and dear to your heart. What's more likely? In 2015, Pablo Sandoval is a Giant, or Ryan Howard is still a Philly? Because there's rumors they're looking to trade him.
Oh, that one's easy. I don't think, I've told you for a while, I don't think Pablo's coming back. But even if I did think Pablo was coming back, no one is taking on that contract of Ryan Howard. So he is 100% for the next five seasons.
So you're going with Pablo Sandoval as a Giant, even though you don't think it's going to happen?
No, I'm saying that it's most likely that that Ryan Howard's going to be a Philly.
Oh, yeah, sorry. What's more likely, yeah, is Ryan Howard's a Philly. All right, well, good. That was did that tease your brain a little bit? Make you?
I liked it, Gabe, sorry. Jeff, I liked it a lot, Jeff. I say we bring it back. I will start thinking up some questions for next week.
Next week you can ask me five questions, what's more likely.
Absolutely.
All right, well, perfect. So it's been just over an hour here. So, Joe, do you have anything left that you want to get out there, want to discuss?
I'll just tease the audience. Chris Paul is going to win the MVP award this year.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell you why. Not now. But
in
later.
The next edition of the Homers at the Bat podcast. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Joe.
Adios.
See you guys.